Good to see everyone's bright and smiling face this morning. I hope everyone's having a wonderful time and rejoicing and worshiping and growing and learning. Every festival is just a great joy to me and hopefully for everyone, and it's just great to see everybody. I see a few empty chairs. Maybe we shouldn't have published the speaker schedule quite this early, but no, just. But, you know, we're having to endure another presidential campaign and election. We're having to listen to a lot of things and see a lot of things on TV and go through all of that. And we listen to a lot of debates and a lot of propaganda, I guess, a lot of slogans, you know, things that they hope will kind of stick in your mind and kind of generate that spark to cast that ballot and get that vote and, you know, whatever that means. There's a slogan I heard a couple of months ago. Kind of stuck in my mind. I just want to go out and vote right now, but no, not really. I want to vote for Jesus Christ. I hope, you know, of course, this is not a talk against voting. I got off track a little bit already, but, you know, I hope we're preparing to vote for Jesus Christ. I hope we're voting right now, every day we live, for Yeshua, Messiah. And that, I mean, isn't he the real political leader in our lives? But I guess I digress. But there's a slogan I heard. It's called, well, let's get my notes up. Okay. Have you heard the slogan this year? Change you can believe in. Change you can believe in. I think we've heard that, a change we can believe in. And I see some grimaces and smiles. I'd like to expand on that just a little bit. I'd like to take that a lot further than just a political slogan, a campaign, propaganda sentence. You know, that slogan is just about all that is, and, you know, in the context of this political election, because tied up in all of that is just more empty promises, more empty platitudes, more empty ideas, leading to basically an empty future. I hope I don't shock anyone or, you know, disillusion anyone. It gets better. It gets a lot better. Then we're hearing something here that, you know, makes a lot of sense, because, you know, real change involves changing ourselves, right? That's when you start changing things. You know, when you start changing families, you start changing communities, you start changing churches. You know, when you start to change yourself, you know. And that's what I think we're trying to do. And with varying degrees of success, I think we're changing, I think we're growing, and I think we're bearing fruit. And I look out upon you here, and I see the family of God. I see the family of God, and you know what? I want to live with you for the rest of eternity. You know, I hope you want to live with me for the rest of eternity. You know, if you'll indulge me a minute or two, I'd like to reminisce just a little, and it'd have to be just a little, because I just have a little time, and I meant to do something. Should have done this 5 minutes ago. I'm going to take my watch out. I don't want to impinge on the next speaker, but anyway. You know, I grew up, I'm a product of the 1960s. I was born in 1954. And I know you young people. If I could draw you young people in just a little bit, I guess it makes me old because I'm starting to reminisce a little. I find myself kind of thinking back on some things. But if I could attract just some of the young people's attention for just a few minutes, I think I'd like to tell you something. I'd like to leave you with something. I know the 1960s seems kind of like back in the Middle Ages and Dark Ages, and you know, we discovered the alphabet, I think, in 1958, and then movable-type printing in 1961, I think, and that was really great because we didn't have to carry those big stone tablets around to school, and I liked that. And then they invented tractors, and my dad put me on one, and expected me not to fall off and clog up the machinery and mess up things. And well, it takes time to get a human being out of a corn picker or hay baler and rotary mowers. That's messy. Just didn't want to have to put up with that. So about six or seven or so, I was out there on a tractor doing what people do on tractors, and you know, that seems kind of horrifying, but I made it. I wouldn't do that. You know, I wouldn't do that, but there's just a different priority and so forth back then. You know, the 1960s, you know, I know you young people, that's like I say, that's old history, but you know, that was the time of flower power and peace, not war, and acid, and you know, Timothy Leary and dropping out, and the Chicago 8 or whatever, and all this rebellion. And you know, young people wanted change. They wanted change they could believe in. And they got the Vietnam War. They wanted change they could believe in. They got the assassination of John F. Kennedy. You know, all those leaders of the rebellion, the flower power and the Haight-Ashbury, and you know, What did they leave us? You know, they left us with empty promises, empty platitudes, empty ideas, basically an empty future. I want to tell you something. I want to start something in your minds. God is offering us something that is so great. I mean, I guess I can't really tell you, but I want to try. God wants to give us real promises, real ideas, real laws, real foundations, real families, and a real future. And I guess that word, a real future, I want the young people to kind of listen to that. And I know, you know, I guess, I can't really remember being a young person, but I think in the prayer group this morning we were talking about having to guard a little bit about being, you know, too negative with our young people. You know, there's a lot of nice things out there, and people, young people are strong and they're happy and they're vital. And I say, you know, live your lives to the fullest in this life, but you know, you're gonna when you do hit a few railroad tracks, when you do hit a few what seems like insurmountable problems in your lives, I hope you think about some things I'm going to talk about just very quickly. I hope it stays with you, and I hope it means something. You know, I think when a speaker sits down and they think, well, what should I talk about? They think, well, I want to leave something with the audience. I want to I want to positively influence them. I want them to remember this more than a few seconds or a few minutes. Now, I guess I feel ambitious. I want you to remember this until next year, because I want to see everyone next year. Maybe not here in Florida, but I want to see you. I want to see everyone I can somewhere in a festival of tabernacles next year. So, you know, I guess I'll see how it goes, but maybe I'll ask you, remember Joel? No, that's all right. But what I want to say is, we've got a future, and it's change you can believe in. I grew up on a little dirt farm in South Dakota, 1954, and somebody told my parents there was a Feast of Tabernacles out in Squaw Valley, California. I don't think anyone knows where that's at. Oh, Mike knows where it's at? Great. Oh, he's a Californian. That's right. I knew there was something special about you, Mike. But we got a station wagon. That was the preferred mode of travel back there in the Middle Ages. Station wagon. And we went to Squaw Valley, California. It must have been around 1965. I don't know, something like that. I was 10 or 11 years old. And, you know, we heard some things that, you know, we didn't hear anywhere else. We heard about a future. You know, we heard about ideas that meant something. We heard about values that made sense and that preserved your life and helped your life, helped our lives. Not that we had a perfect family. My brothers and sisters have fell away from what I'm trying to participate in, but that's not what, I guess that's not the point right now. But you know, something must have clicked in my mind, because I've been observing this festival for as close as I can calculate. I don't have that many fingers and toes, but I've been observing this festival for over 40 years. And, you know, I don't say that because, you know, I'm a special person or something. It takes some people longer to learn things than others, I guess. But and God's been very merciful to me. And I think He's been merciful to you, I think. I look out on this crowd and I'm proud. You people, brethren, brothers and sisters. I see a lot of spiritual blood and sweat and tears. It's, you know, it's been a long road, long journey. People tried to tell you this didn't mean anything. This has gone away. All the stuff, you know. But you know what? It does mean something. It really does. I want to convey that message to you. Don't ever, ever, ever let someone say that this does not mean something and substitute the truth for empty words, empty slogans, empty philosophies, an empty future. You know, I want you to turn to Micah chapter 4. I've got to get going here. You know, if something's not burning within us, if something's not burning down there inside of us, a flame, a spiritual flame that's not going to go out because it's the Spirit of God, then we need to take stock, because time is fleeting. We live in a world that's in a death spiral. We live in a world where Babylon is falling. It's falling. And it's not going to die easy. this great dinosaur of commerce and religion and economics and warfare and military might, it's not going to die easy. I hope I'm not shocking anyone. But we have something. Well, let's turn to Micah. First, chapter 4, it's been read before. I just think you can't read it enough. I guess that's just me. Micah chapter 4. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days, verse 1, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills. People shall flow unto it. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth. The law. Torah. T-O-R-A-H. It's going to still be there. I hope that doesn't disappoint the world too much. The law shall go forth, and the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. I'm so glad that God has offered us, and hopefully the young people here, something more than another car bomb, another smart bomb, another dumb bomb. They're all dumb bombs, in my opinion, but they're just dumb things that kill people. And God doesn't want that for our people, for our youth, and for the future. Aren't you glad? Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war anymore. Everyone shall sit under his vine, under his fig tree. No one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of God of hosts has spoken. For all people walk in the name of his God. But we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. Wonderful knowledge. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things to think about. And it's not empty. It's the Word of God. And it's going to happen. Praise God for that. I have 1, 2, 3. I have 6 scriptures if I'm going to be able to get to them. Amos 9, 8 through 11, 13 through 15. If you want to jot it down, I'm not going to have time to read it, but I hope you maybe look it up after a while. Isaiah 9, Isaiah 40, Isaiah 61. It's all there. It's real change you can believe in. It's real hope you can believe in and teach your children. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. I would like to turn to Isaiah 35. I read this so many years ago, and I'm still reading it, and it's still inspiring. It still shows me there's change that we can believe in. I mean, real change, not a political slogan, not propaganda, not manipulation, not another lie. It's real. It's true. It's really true. How can I say that anymore? Isaiah 35. I'd just like to quickly read this chapter, and I hope Johnny will indulge me just a minute. The wilderness and the wastelands, they shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice, blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice. Even with joy and singing, the glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. the excellence of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord. We're going to see the glory of the Lord. The excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands. Make the feeble knees firm. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. And that's what the world needs. They don't need another political election. They don't need another war. They don't need another failing bank. They don't need another destroyed village because somebody wanted to kill everybody. They need salvation. They need God. Maybe they even need us. I hope so. I hope we can participate. And that's what we're here for, right? The eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer. The tongue of the dumb will sing. The water shall burst forth in the wilderness. Streams in the desert. Parched ground shall become a pool. The thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals. You know, I love water. I just love water. I love the rain. I grew up in the plains of South Dakota. Here I go again. You know, it didn't rain that much. And when it rained, it just... What's that hymn? The water comes down from heaven. The Spirit, it flows down from heaven. Every time it rains, I just think of that. It's so good, really. The habitation of jackals for each lay. There should be grass with weeds and rushes. A highway shall be there and a road. It shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. I think the old King James has a little bit different wording, but I think it says fools won't be walking on that road. Well, I don't know. Will there be fools walking around in the kingdom? Maybe. Maybe they'll need some instruction. Maybe they'll need some wisdom, you know? No lion shall be there. There will be any ravenous beast to go upon it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the eternal God shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. And some people say life is a journey. I say it's a field of battle. And that's not negative, because there's victories there. And you've all won some victories, or you wouldn't be here. I just wanted to tell you that. I mean, not that we're super good people, but we've seen some victories in life. I hope we see a lot more, because God is victorious. He never quits. He's not going to lay down the sword until he stands on the Mount of Olives. And we can't lay down the sword until we are standing there with him. It's been nice talking to everyone. And it's been good to see everyone. Maybe in another 40 years, we'll have a lot different world here. Wouldn't that be great? How old were you? So my daughter, let's see, 58, I'm sorry, that's not a good thought, sorry. My daughter, 58, okay. No, she'll be beautiful, just like she is now. I guess I'm embarrassing her. And I better wrap this up because I didn't want to talk this long. But I hope this is something you can remember and something you can think about. Real change that you can believe in. Yes, sir. Real change that we can all believe in.